The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Also, you can check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. There'll be video accompanying this show at any moment if you have ESPN Plus. But right now, it's just a picture of my face. Is the decline finally here for LeBron James? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. A source, a highly placed source, says LeBron James is in decline. Now, who is this source? Got into this on First Take today. And both Molly and Kendrick Perkins took exception. Stephen A. was off today. The highly placed source is LeBron James. I've been saying for 3 days now. I don't know why everyone's not taking this more seriously. He said he doubts he'll ever be 100% again. You know, part of aging is injury, recovering from injury, and at a certain point feeling like I'm kind of going to be perpetually injured from now on. I remember one of the saddest days of my life. I'm not kidding. Other than like real tragedy, which I've experienced, one of the saddest days of my life was I was like pushing 30. I noticed I was putting on a little bit of a gut. It used to be I could eat whatever I wanted, had a six pack, didn't matter. Now I'm almost 30 and I went to the freezer. I wanted to get some ice cream. Love ice cream. And I realized, you know what? I'm going to have to not eat ice cream until, and I realized, until I die, basically, if I want to stay in shape. I just can't eat ice cream anymore. You're getting older, right? That's what happens. Your body changes. LeBron James doesn't think he's ever going to be 100%. Well, he's just setting the bar low, says Molly. Other people today on First Take, other people have said, he said stuff like that in the past. Don't take him literally. You're taking him literally. Guys, no one in the history of the NBA has ever played as many minutes as LeBron for as many seasons and still been the best player in the game. Never happened before. So every day that that's still the case with LeBron, he is resetting the record, which he holds by a million light years. I mean, before LeBron, it was Kareem. But Kareem wasn't close to being the best player in the game still when he played as many NBA minutes as LeBron. It's not exactly apples to apples. Kareem played 4 years of college at a very high level, won the championship every year, almost never lost. I get it. But the fact of the matter is, no one's ever played near the NBA minutes LeBron has played and still been the best player in the game. Is LeBron still? Like, the high ankle sprain is sort of the last stop before, oh my God, this is tragic, what's going on. High ankle sprain is, damn, that's bad, but phew. That's like as bad as it can be without it being like, that's it, we're finished. But when he comes back from that, like, let's not forget, I always talk about the fact that LeBron James, after Miami, after Pat Riley and Spoelstra in Miami, I think LeBron realized, damn, I'm in the finals every single year. Like, don't forget, he went to one finals in Cleveland originally, then four in Miami, and then four in Cleveland, right? So, at a certain point, I think once he left Miami, he was like, all right, I'm in the finals every year from now on. I can't be putting the pedal to the metal, both ends of the floor, during the regular season all year and through the playoffs and in the finals if I want a long career and I want to win the championship. I got to know when to ease off the gas, especially on the defensive end, because the team needs him too much on offense. And so, given those were the circumstances, it was okay that in the regular season, KD won the MVP. Go ahead, KD, you can have that. Steph won the MVP. Go ahead, Steph, you can have that. Harden won the MVP. Go ahead, Harden, take that. No problem. Then, by the way, Kawhi won finals MVP, but LeBron was hurt. Next season, he had the playoffs, LeBron did, to reestablish himself. When the smoke cleared, when the dust settled, LeBron was on the top of the mountain. LeBron was used the playoffs to show he's still the best player in the world. Here's the thing. This year, age 36, even before he got injured, LeBron James had his pedal, had the pedal to the metal on the defensive end. AD challenged him to do it. And you know what happened? Lakers were great. Picked up where they left off last year, where they won the championship. But was LeBron the best player in the world? Because actually, I thought Embiid was until he got hurt. And then game for game, I thought it was James Harden till he got hurt. LeBron did not establish regular season, even when he was playing both ends of the floor tough, that he was still the best. But you know what? Don't matter. We're going to have the playoffs for him to prove it again. Let me ask you something. When the dust settles in these playoffs, do you believe LeBron will have left no doubt that he's still the greatest player in the world? I don't know about that.
No doubt.
I don't know. I would say, nah, son, Raj, to that. I don't think so. You think he's getting by any permutation, or maybe all three? Utah, Denver, forget about Denver. Utah, the Clippers, the Suns, the Jazz, Suns, and Clippers, all three going to get out of the West, you sure? Well, no, you might mix in a Dallas or Denver team. Even those won't be easy matchups. No, it's tough. And then if he gets through all that, if the big three of the Nets are waiting on the other side, the Lakers ain't going to win. Not if the Nets are healthy. So how does LeBron prove it in these playoffs? At the very least, his status as the best in the world will be in doubt at the end of this season. Now, I've learned my lesson before coronating someone else. I did that to KD. Hey, maybe KD's the best in the world. Back when he won MVP. Oh, sorry, LeBron. I did that to Steph. Hey, new game, different kind of way of playing. In any other era, LeBron would be the greatest. Not in this one, it's Steph. Steph should be the lead in Space Jam 2. It's his world. 73 wins, greatest team of all time. End of the playoffs. Oh, sorry, LeBron, you're still the dude. I did it again. Last time LeBron was in a similar situation to this, of course, he didn't have AD as a teammate. First year on the Lakers, and he gets hurt, and then Lonzo got hurt, and the Lakers don't do anything. Meantime, Kawhi had already won a Finals MVP with the Spurs, goes to Toronto, and just like that, see that, I'm snapping into the microphone. You can't see it, but I'm snapping, just like that. Toronto wins the Finals, and Kawhi had one of the greatest postseasons, including Finals, in the history of the game. One of the greatest. And I said, you know what, LeBron usually has the playoffs to prove it again. Not this time. Kawhi's that dude. LeBron came back the next year and proved it. But at the very least, this season, now 2 seasons removed from when I was wrong about Kawhi having taken the crown, LeBron himself is saying, I'll never be 100% again. Is 95, 90, 85% of LeBron enough combined with AD to still win championships? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Listen to Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, on the 6 o'clock Sports Center last night on how long LeBron could be out with his high ankle sprain, which he re-aggravated.
I don't think you're going to see much LeBron James the rest of the regular season. One of the big issues is the Lakers have 7 games left, and 6 of them are part of back-to-back sets. And LeBron, with this issue, is just not going to play in back-to-back games. And then you have the fact that, you know, he had a setback. You know, his ankle just didn't respond like he had hoped playing over last weekend. And it needs more rest. It needs some time to heal, and he needs to get more comfortable cutting on it. So I do think you'll see him out there, you know, trying to get some rhythm before the playoffs. But the Lakers are probably going to have to fight for that seed largely without LeBron for the rest of this couple of weeks.
I mean, listen, how's that any different than what happened to James Harden, what's going on with the Nets right now, right? James Harden hamstring. There's pressure to get back. You want to get back. The team wants you back. You have a setback. Re-aggravates it or aggravates it. An injury. And now who knows when Harden's coming back? Let's assume LeBron gets back for the playoffs. Let's just assume that that happens. Now, unlike the Nets, because I've seen James Harden show up fat and out of shape, first day with the team, looking like a hot mess, roll out of bed, give you a 30-point triple-double, and a win. I saw him rampage through the league without KD. First just him and KD, then just him and Kyrie. Sometimes just him, and get it done. And maybe LeBron could do the same thing, but I haven't seen that from him post-injury this year. I have seen it from Harden. I haven't seen it from LeBron. AD, thank God, Lakers fans, AD finally looked like AD against the Nuggets, like really like AD. He outplayed Jokic both ends of the floor, and because of his play on both ends of the floor, the Lakers won. And you could argue, hey, Marc Gasol had a good game and whatever else. AD was the best player on either team, and the Lakers won. But LeBron's got to get back. Schroeder's got to get back. The playoffs start, and just like that, you got to be the best team in the West again? That is a tall order. Meantime, if you look at the NBA standings, the Lakers right now sitting in six, right? I have to play the Clippers in the first round? So let's say LeBron and Schroeder do get back. Are the Lakers ready to beat a fully loaded Clippers squad, having not played together most of the year? I mean, even if LeBron could pull that off, that would be amazing. Oh, hear what that is. That's Dr. Dre right there. It's Hoops with Dr. Dre. Andre Snellings, ESPN NBA senior writer and analyst, and one of my many antagonists in the business nowadays. What's up, Dre?
Guess who's back? Y'all playing Dr. Dre got me hype coming in here.
That's it. Listen, I have laid out my concerns and, frankly, my anxiety and fears as a Laker fan about LeBron James. Did you hear any of that, Dre?
I did. I listened to all of it, and they were all valid concerns, especially the way you pointed out the number of minutes, you know, the amount of tread he has on his tires, and the way that it's manifesting. So it doesn't appear, you know, that LeBron as a player is slowing down. But he's starting to get injured, and he never did before, right? You know, two seasons ago he had the groin issue, and then this year he's got the high ankle sprain. So those are valid concerns, especially, you know, with the comments that he's making about, you know, whether he'll ever be back to the best he can ever be.
Let me stop you right there for a second, Dre. Dre, let me stop you right there. For some reason, that has totally flown under the radar, that comment. I was shocked. I've heard, well, he's made comments like that before. I've heard, well, don't take him literally. I've heard he's setting the bar low so he can exceed them. He wants to be dramatic because it lends to the story, the narrative, as everyone says nowadays. But Dre, part of aging, part of getting older is, like, part of it is injury. You know, the kind of perpetual state of injury. I can't believe that quote wasn't more picked up on, because I'm taking it at face value. Should I?
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. Like, face value, because there could be an element of setting the bar low. You know, there could be an element of gamesmanship, all those things. But we're at the end of the season now. So for me, the question is, can LeBron get healthy enough to play 20 or 25 games with no back-to-backs? I think that he can, and so I don't think that it is the deal-stopping question for right now. Now, for next season and moving forward, if he was, you know, speaking at face value, then, yeah, you have to start thinking about, okay, what might the league look like without, you know, LeBron as the king on top. But for this season, my only question is, can he get on the court? And if he can get on the court, to me that means he will be able to play at a high enough level to approximate LeBron in the playoffs.
This is what I mean. And, wait a minute, Dre, stop right there. That's what I'm pointing to. The thing about LeBron is, like Jordan before him, by the end of the season, I mean, Jordan was the best all season, every season, and that killed everyone in the playoffs. But by the time the dust settled in the playoffs, it was clear LeBron is still the best player in basketball, because those are very high leverage games. And he's, you know, averaging, you know, triple doubles with high 40 points, right? Like, he's killing everyone, and his team is winning. So that's LeBron. LeBron, to say LeBron is to say the undisputed best player in the game, like worth any two of your superstars. If he's just approximating LeBron, if he's just a top five player, well, that's decline. That doesn't assure that you're going to make the finals.
So, you know, there's decline, and you also have to decide whether we're speaking about LeBron or the Lakers. You know, I think that LeBron can be 95% of LeBron. And with this Laker team, if they stay healthy, they should still be the favorite to come out of the West. Because this isn't the same team as last year. This isn't LeBron and AD and then, like, kind of a bunch of role players, you know. They have 4 or 5 deep of players that are impact players. And then that's not even including guys like Kuzma and THT who on any given night can bring it as well.
25 points, yeah.
Yeah, it's like if they've got LeBron and AD both playing at pretty much their level, and then you've got Drummond and Montrez and Schroeder there to kind of help pick up the slack, I still think they're the team to beat in the West. Now,
Even though they haven't played together, Dre?
I mean, they've all played together, you know, like LeBron and AD actually had, you know, they had a whole season together, so I'm not as worried about that. You know, Montrez and Schroeder, like LeBron played 40 games, so it's not like even the Brooklyn situation where you're talking 7 games with 3 guys on the court. Like, all of these guys, except for maybe Drummond, you know, LeBron is used to playing with and going into big games with, so I'm not as concerned about that. To me, the big question is health. If they're healthy, I think that the Lakers come out.
I don't know, Dre. All I got to tell you, we have other things to talk about, but all I got to tell you is just their first round matchup, if it is the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Serge Ibaka hasn't played in forever. Serge Ibaka comes back, that's just additive, right? A guy who can bomb from the outside and defend the rim. Kennard shoots the lights out. Rondo was the missing element, the floor general, the kind of third star once the playoffs start, because it's like a coach on the floor. Morris, Batum, like they are deep and have played together more and I think are a very big threat to knock the Lakers out in the first round. Then if you get by that, you're still going to have to deal with the cream of the crop of the West.
Yeah, they're deep. The Clippers are deep and very good. I don't think they're quite, you know, at the level where I would feel like they would be the favorites against the Lakers unless LeBron, like I said, if he's out there like T.O. when he came back from a high ankle sprain in the Super Bowl and was going at 60%, that's one thing. But if he looks like LeBron, the Lakers are bullies. They're just too big. I don't think that the Clippers have the size, even with the way, you know, Zubac has been playing, I don't think they have the size to deal with the Lakers in the middle.
Well,
in the playoffs, that's important.
AD has shown, even against Denver recently, when he is back to being himself, like, how do you stop Jokic, AD? He's great defensively, great offensively, can do everything when he's right. But, man, he and LeBron better be right. I want to switch over to the Eastern Conference. Dre,
all right.
Here is my take. If James Harden is healthy and the big three is together, no one will take the Nets 7 games. No one. Not your Bucks. Not the Sixers, not the Lakers. With LeBron and AD, they're going to make mincemeat of everybody if everyone's healthy. But if James Harden doesn't play, but everyone else is healthy, they're not getting out of the East. To that you say what?
I definitely agree with your second statement, and your first statement is way too strong. But, you know, like we talked about this before, this year's Nets team with all three of their guys playing together is a very strong team. My take would be everybody healthy, then the Nets have a reasonable chance against the Bucks or the Lakers, but I don't think I'd make them the favorites against either.
They're going to kill the Bucks if everyone's healthy, Dre. They're going to kill the Bucks. If everyone's healthy on the Nets. Dre,
see, here's the thing.
I write fantasy basketball.
I'm a senior fantasy basketball writer here at ESPN, among other things.
Yes.
This is not fantasy basketball. You don't just get to throw James Harden in and it's the team that they played yesterday plus Harden.
Wait, Dre, this is what I want to get into. I agree with you. Normally it shouldn't be. I did not like the Nets to start the season. I did not like the Harden trade to make them favorites. Even once they made the Harden trade, I thought the defense has to get better. But Dre, Harden showed up fat and out of shape, looking like a hot mess in Brooklyn, rolled out of bed to a 30-point triple-double in wins with just KD. Then with just Kyrie, he rampaged through the league to give the Nets the best record in the East. What about with all three?
Harden's a monster. And low-key, y'all have been really kind of playing him short. He's the best player on the team. Durant is really, I mean, he's arguably the greatest scorer that ever lived. Yeah. But Harden can put a whole offense together and push to be the engine for an offense in a way that KD can't. And he's shown that this year, you know. And my question when he got there was, were they going to take the Nets as were and try to add Harden or make it Harden's team? The answer was they made it Harden's team. Yep. So that's all to their credit. That's why the Nets, I think, are championship caliber. But, you know, when I look at a team like the Bucks, their level these last couple years has been at championship level. They just had two Achilles heels. One was what happens if a team built the wall against Giannis because they didn't have the perimeter players. Yep. And then two, they weren't switching off of picks so teams could get hot and just fire them up from three. They addressed both of those situations. So the level that they play at, to me, it's a championship-level team. I'm not sure that the Nets, because we've only seen seven games with all three of them together, you know, we're just going to throw them out there and I'm just going to say, oh, they're just going to slaughter them? I don't see that.
Look, Dre, look, I was with you the whole thing. I had to give it up when I saw it. In fact, adding Harden is not simply additive. It's a force multiplier immediately. And by the way, the Bucks, by the skin of their teeth, can beat the Nets without Harden. Since Harden can show up and start running the show and make you exponentially better than you were, and the Bucks, by the skin of their teeth, are beating the Nets now, they will not. I'm so close to saying they will gentlemen sweep the league. Like, I look at this team, if they have Harden healthy, all big three healthy. And by the way, then the best shooter on the team is none of the big three.
The term you're looking for is diminishing returns. You can only get so much better on offense. He makes them better, but they're like elite on offense without him. They don't just get double elite. You know, they just, you know, they start approaching that maximum.
Wrong. By the way, I was a kid. I was
on defense.
I was a little kid.
Or in the middle. That's where they really, you know, I would talk about the Lakers being bullies. The Bucks are bullies. The 76ers are bullies. We saw what Andre Drummond did against these Nets.
Yeah, they'll get them two at a time. Three the hard way, and the Nets will get them three at a time. Real quick, Dre, I was a little kid, and I'm going to refer to a team, see if you can guess it. They acquired a player, very different kind of player than James Harden. And once they acquired that player, it was like, oh, man, they're going to kill everyone. And they did. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I'm guessing Mo Malone in the 76ers.
Correct. They put Moses Malone on that team, and they played with the NBA. They swept the Lakers. They destroyed everybody. That's what this Nets team is, if healthy. That's my prediction. We'll see who's right. We will see who's right. Andre Snellings, Dr. Dre, one of a kind. Boy, does he get under my skin. Man knows what he's talking about, though. He joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. At a certain point, he just has to keep talking or I'll keep interrupting him. It's a good technique. Helping you discover the road ahead, Goodyear more driven. Which two teams traded their, or should trade, their disgruntled superstar quarterbacks? I want you to, so Raj wrote it wrong, but the idea is there are two disgruntled superstar quarterbacks. Could you imagine a trade? It might work. I haven't heard anyone talk about it. The football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that are really exciting to you, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Should two Hall of Fame quarterbacks switch teams?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Breaking news and Aaron Rodgers' situation overshadowing the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Packers' star quarterback has told the team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay.
Three separate team officials have flown out to try and mend fences.
It's a few players in this league. When they say they want out, you have no choice.
Yeah, I think it's about a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame who's just the MVP, feels disrespected.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. I may have to fix two bad situations in the NFL. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know what? It's surprising to me that this hasn't occurred to anyone, or maybe it has. There's so many social media accounts. Probably someone suggested this somewhere, right? But it's so obvious. Sometimes the truth is so blinding, it's hard to see. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So stay with me here, folks. Remember when Russell Wilson threw his offensive line under the bus, basically saying he needs to be protected and needs a defense, and here are the five places he'd agree to be traded? You know how Aaron Rodgers says he wants out? He doesn't want to return to the Packers, but how could the Packers get equal value back, right? They're knocking on the door of a Super Bowl. You got any special future Hall of Fame quarterback still in their prime that could win a Super Bowl for you, with you, lead you to it? See what I'm saying? Doesn't it seem kind of obvious? I know the Packers weren't on Russell Wilson's list, but they have a real chance to win the Super Bowl. And for Aaron Rodgers, the fact of the matter is, Seattle, there are a lot of places a lot farther away from Northern California than Seattle in this country. I'm just saying, is it crazy to throw it out there? I mean, Rodgers and Wilson would have to sign off, because the last thing that either guy wants, or that either team wants, is to get another disgruntled quarterback. But is it out of the question that those guys could be sold on each other's teams? I don't think so. Russell Wilson has a team-friendly deal by today's standards, and he's younger than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson, and is also only, in today's NFL, 37. Not coming off a catastrophic injury or anything like that, knock wood. I was arguing with Dan Orlovsky on the air about Aaron Rodgers now, saying how the Browns would be really good with him, and he's like, yeah, but, you know, Tom Brady's an outlier. He's not going to play until he's Tom Brady's age. Okay, well, I agree. Who says you're going to play until you're 43? Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to. Aaron Rodgers, if he can just stay at this level until he's 39, 40, he's got 3-4 more years as arguably the best football player who ever lived. Right? Like, I thought he was the best I'd ever seen until I saw Patrick Mahomes. Brady more accomplished. He's been on better teams. What's that worth if you think you're knocking on the door? Now, Seattle doesn't have an offensive line. I don't think Rodgers would love that. Doesn't have a defense. I don't think Rodgers would love that. But that could be addressed. And in the meantime, if Aaron Rodgers wants targets, how's DK Metcalf? Now, here's the thing. I think Green Bay gives Aaron Rodgers a better chance to win than Seattle does. But if Aaron Rodgers wants out, it's not fully about that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. First is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Listen to Brett Favre on Aaron Rodgers. He said this on ESPN Wisconsin Radio's Wild and Tausch. Go ahead, Raj.
Boy, that's a good question. That's a million-dollar question. I think I know Aaron fairly well. And honestly, I just don't see him coming back and just saying, all right, let's bury the hatchet, whatever that for whatever caused the rift. I'm just going to come back and play because I love the guys. I love the Green Bay fans. I assume that he does. His rift isn't with the fans nor the players. It's with the front office, so will he just swallow his pride and come in? Maybe, but I don't see that happening. I if there's not a trade, my gut tells me that he'd rather sit out than play.
Now, here's the thing. That was Brett Favre on Aaron Rodgers. I'll give you a little Max Kellerman on Aaron Rodgers. What does Brett Favre know? All he was the quarterback who Green Bay disrespected originally, who'd won a Super Bowl, and replaced him with a first-round pick in Aaron Rodgers, who had to hold the clipboard for him for a while before they let him go. He's in the exact position Aaron Rodgers was back then. Still had football left in him, the whole thing. Of course, Jordan Love, the odds that he's Aaron Rodgers are almost nothing, because almost no one's ever been on this level. At any rate, I'll give you my take. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has to sit out to get traded. Well, what's he going to do, sit out? Otherwise, he's got to report. Football's a full contact sport.
The quarterback is the leader not only of the offense, really of the whole team. You're going to go as far as your quarterback takes you. That's why I think quarterback one loss record is actually underrated by the analytics community. And I think a lot of those sports cliches that don't apply as much in, say, baseball as people would like, absolutely apply in football. You know, are you all pulling in the same direction? If you, you know, are you willing to make sacrifices to your for your teammates? Is the chemistry there? You know, in baseball, how much chemistry does the right fielder need with a third baseman? They don't hit next to each other in the lineup. What's he not going to make an accurate throw to third base on a guy, you know, on a runner on first, there's a base hit, he's running to third, and the right fielder's like, I don't like that third baseman, not make the throw. But in football, you got to protect a guy. You got to run through a brick wall for a guy. Yeah, it makes a difference. I don't think you can have a quarterback who you know doesn't want to be there lead you to a Super Bowl. And I think if you're the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to. Well, if he sits out, he's going to have to give him back $30 million. Is he willing to do that? No, he can report and just let him know, I don't want to be here. And the locker room will know it, and the Packers will be dead in the water. Dead in the water. Well, what, is he not going to complete the pass? It's more than that. It's going to be demoralizing for a team to know their quarterback doesn't want to be there. They have to trade him. They have no choice. And he ain't even going to have to sit out to prove it. As I've been saying, what the Packers front office has to come to understand is the same thing Dan Gilbert in Cleveland had to come to understand about LeBron. Same thing with James Harden with the Rockets. Same thing with Tom Brady and the Patriots even. And now with Tampa, he's the boss. The putative boss, the so-called boss, just doesn't understand that yet. But Rodgers is the boss, as in he will tell them where he wants to be traded. And they will necessarily have to trade him, not just to some place, but to the place he orders them to trade him. Because any other team that wouldn't is not going to give up multiple first-round draft picks and everything in order to get a guy who doesn't want to be there. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Jeannie Buss gave a list of her top five most important Lakers. Wait till you heard who she left off. You know, some big names got to be left off. There are a lot of important Lakers. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles. With insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward, more at progressive.com, more at progressivecommercial.com. Which Laker did Jeannie Buss leave off her list?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Got a good fit for Aaron Rodgers. I've been talking on TV and the radio the last couple days about the Cleveland Browns. Nothing against Baker Mayfield. I think Mayfield's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I don't think he's a bad one. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best, maybe the best, who ever did it. You know, until Mahomes, he's the best I've ever seen. I think he on the Browns makes them instant odds-on Super Bowl favorites, number one. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm really surprised, by the way, how many Browns fans on social media, no, we want Baker. Good for Baker and good for the Browns fans that he's made them feel that way about him. But if I'm a Browns fan, I'm like, damn, we got a chance to get Aaron Rodgers behind the best offensive line in the game with all these receivers and running backs, and we got playmakers on defense. Meantime, Jeannie Buss gave all the smoke. How much news does the All the Smoke podcast make? Boy, I mean, like, gotta give those guys props. Her top five most important Lakers. Ready? Now, she did this off the cuff, it seems, so I'm going to cut her some slack. Jeannie, you have an open invitation on the show anytime you want to come on, but I'd love to hear the rationale, and it's hard. See, Mount Rushmore's or top fives for a lot of teams would be like figuring out how to get five names worthy of it. On the Lakers, it's all about editing. You gotta leave people off. You gotta kill the baby. Like, which one? Kareem is on. Kobe on. LeBron, Magic, and Phil. Now, I'll cut her some slack with LeBron because even though he just got there, really, and he's won a single championship there, he put him back on the map, all that stuff. But more than that, he's their active best player. She better include him on every list, right? But you know who she left off? A lot of people are like, Shaq. Yep, she left Shaq off. She left off Jerry West. Jerry West was the Kobe of his day. He was the best guard in the league for over a decade. He'd give you 30 points and a bunch of assists, and you'd be in the finals every year, right? Jerry West won the MVP of the finals on a losing team. They lost the finals. They still gave him MVP because I was like, that dude is better than everybody. Jerry West was that dude, and then was arguably, after all that, the greatest executive in the history of American team sports, like you could argue. Dude has the Midas touch. Understand, Jerry West showed up as the GM. The Lakers, you blink, they win 5 championships. Then he goes to Memphis, and then they're in the playoffs, perpetually in the play. And then he comes back to the Lakers, and they're winning championships again. Then he goes to Golden State, puts his body in front of a Klay Thompson for Kevin Love move. And Golden State's winning championships. When Golden State got Jerry West, I told everybody, the battle of the 405 freeway is on. Because I knew they'd be great. I didn't know the Lakers wouldn't hold up their end of the bargain, but I knew that Golden State would be great. Now the Clippers are a powerhouse. Jerry West got to be on the list. And Shaq has a case. I would say something else. I know Phil Jackson, that's her dude, literally her dude for a long time, right? And he won 5 championships as coach of the Lakers, and Pat Riley won 4. Those Lakers teams won 5, but 4 with Pat Riley as the coach. I don't think you can leave Pat Riley off a list if you have another coach on. I can't say that Phil Jackson had a greater run as Lakers coach than Pat Riley. The Showtime Lakers, what reestablished the Lakers when they went from, hey, the Lakers are a distant second to the Celtics, but they are among the glamour franchises, and took them to, actually, the Lakers are really the number one franchise, were the Pat Riley years. Like, I'm not even arguing someone like Wilt or Elgin Baylor. I agree they don't belong on the list, even though they're amazing. James Worthy, Pau Gasol. I'm not arguing any of that. I'm saying Jerry West got to be there, and you got to give serious consideration to Pat Riley and, yeah, Shaq. By the way, no hard feelings from Shaq. He said, I'm not mad about that. If I was 29, I'd say, hold on. LeBron's only been there 720 days. How are you going to put him on before me? Kind of agree with that. But I think Jeannie's under a little pressure there. She can't leave LeBron off because he's their active best player. Don't want to do anything to alienate LeBron James if you're Jeannie Buss. So I'll give Jeannie a pass on that one.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.